This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with one of the big challenges facing Boston public schools. In fact, it's a challenge that many urban school systems struggle with. And that is how to attract more teachers to reflect the racial diversity of the students who attend the schools.
And here's a fact that highlights the challenge. While 87% of Boston public school students are young people of color, the vast majority of Boston's 4,400 teachers are white. Dig a little deeper and you learn that black male teachers are a distinct minority within a minority. Fewer than 6% of public school teachers in Boston are black men, and nationwide it's less than 2%.
Black male teachers are difficult to find, as it turns out, and even harder to keep. And according to a new study, this contributes to the difficulties that many black boys face in school. Joining me now is Travis Bristol. He's a former public school teacher here in Boston and New York City. Now he's a postdoctoral research fellow at the Stanford University Center for Opportunity, Policy, and Education. And he's the author of a new report, one of the most extensive studies of its kind on black male teachers in the Boston public school system. And Travis Bristol, welcome to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony.
And listeners, we want to invite you into this conversation. How can we recruit and retain more black male teachers? Is that an important goal? Should the teaching population mirror the student population in this way? Or should the quality of the teacher be the only measure? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. We're going to hear from a Boston public school teacher in a moment. But first, I want to hear from you, Travis Bristol. Tell us first how you conducted this study, who you talked to, and what inspired you to take this study on.
Thank you. First, I'd like to thank the former superintendent, Carol Johnson, for really providing support for this study and her feedback on the policy brief that you just mentioned. So one of the things that sort of inspired me to begin this study was Secretary Arne Duncan's decision to launch a black male teacher recruitment campaign calling black men to the blackboard. And at Morehouse, Secretary Duncan, he said sort of, faced with the startling fact that black males represent sort of 6% of the population and 35% of the prison population, it's troubling that black male teachers are only 2% of all teachers. And so I became interested in this idea of not only maybe recruiting teachers, but thinking about their experiences and thinking also about retention. And so I wanted to try to understand, is it simply only about recruitment, mm-hmm. or are black male teachers more likely to leave? A subsequent study by Richard Ingersoll found that that indeed black male teachers had higher rates of turnover. And so this qualitative study where I interviewed 27 black male teachers across 14 schools, 7 schools with one black male teacher, 7 schools with many more, really was an attempt to understand why teachers came into the profession, how they experienced schools, and why they decided to leave.
Mm. Well, let's start with that last point first. Why do so many people decide to leave? So many black male teachers decide to leave the profession. What did you find?
And so really what I found was that the experience of black male teachers really represent a microcosm of what's happening to black male teachers across urban centers in the United States. Black teachers are disappearing. In Chicago, for example, in 2000, 52% of all teachers in Chicago public schools were black. Today, 25% of teachers in Chicago public schools are black. In New Orleans, 75% of black teachers in 2004 were black. And currently in 2013, 54% are black. So black teachers are disappearing. And what I found here, looking at 27 black male teachers in Boston public schools, that sort of teachers who were teaching in the most challenging schools were more likely to leave.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of reasons, and I want to get into these around why they're leaving and issues about what it take to retain them. But let's jump right to sort of the sort of central and sort of most important point here. What's the significance of this shortage? Why does it matter?
So I think it matters. There is data that would suggest that having a black male teacher improves learning outcomes for black students. But one could also imagine that black male teachers aren't only good for black male students. Black male teachers are good for the entire teaching profession. They bring a new perspective. They bring different ideas to the organization that can benefit their colleagues. And so having more black male teachers, it's sort of central to allowing schools to improve the learning outcomes of students who stand at the margins, mm-hmm. on average, black and Latino students.
Yeah. So the city has had a real problem retaining black male teachers. What did the teachers that you spoke to tell you about why they left the profession? Why are they disappearing?
So they are disappearing because of the working conditions. Mm-hmm. They are teaching in the most challenging schools. In Boston, black male teachers are concentrated in turnaround schools. These are schools that have been sort of historically failing. And so these teachers are leaving because of the working conditions in their schools.
I see. And so is there a sense that if they were allowed to work at a greater cross-section of these schools, at other kinds of schools, that then they would stay?
Yes. So what I found in my study, I had 27, like I said, I had 27 black male teachers. Again, seven teachers who are the only black male teachers. At the end of my study, I looped back with those teachers, and I found that those seven teachers actually stayed. Mm-hmm. I had nine teachers leave. All of those nine teachers were teaching in schools with many more black male teachers. And the reason that they suggested around why they left had to do with the working conditions. So, yes, to your question, if they were teaching in schools that had improved working conditions, then they would be more likely to stay.
Interesting. Well, I want to let me bring in a teacher. I want to bring in another voice to this conversation, Hayden Frederick Clark. He's in his seventh year as a public school teacher in Charlestown, and he joins us here in the studio. And Hayden Frederick Clark, welcome to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I'd love to just sort of get your quick response to what you've heard Travis Bristol talk about, and then sort of relate it a little bit to your experience. But let me start with the sort of significance of this shortage question. Why is it important that we figure out a way to raise the number, to recruit and to retain more African-American teachers in our public schools?
I think Travis spoke to it very eloquently. I'd only add to that the importance of role models and the importance of students having examples of success in front of them that reflect their background, reflect their experiences, reflect their circumstances is very important. It can be a transformative moment for many students who are battling issues of self-esteem, battling issues of circumscribed ambition. Mm-hmm. To have someone who, quote-unquote, defeated the odds and is an example of how you can overcome certain obstacles and find a path to whatever your dream or goal might be, regardless of circumstances that are outside of your control.
Yeah. And, you know, to Travis's point that a lot of black teachers leave the profession because of the challenges of the schools in which they find themselves, the working conditions. Mm-hmm. What do you see? What's your observation in terms of that finding?
I concur. I feel like I've heard that sentiment echoed very frequently. In my particular view, my frustration comes from the reality that the school still does not address many of the lived problems that our students face. And in casual conversations with other African-American male teachers, it's been a pretty ubiquitous sentiment that we're here, we're working hard, but at the end of the day, the life chances and the outcomes of our students aren't where we'd like them to be. And that's in part because it's bigger than personnel. The system seems ill-designed to seriously and immediately ameliorate what our students are experiencing and their future outcomes is in terms of employment, in terms of educational attainment once they leave secondary school. So the larger questions aren't being addressed sufficiently, and I think that lends to some frustration at the ground floor.
Yeah, sure. Travis, I'd love to get back to this idea of, you know, how you view the challenge and how to get more African-American men into the teaching pipeline to begin with.
So I think that much of the district's efforts sort of appear to be focused on bringing black male teachers into the pipeline. And I think your question is a good one about pipeline. But if there is sort of a leak in the pipe, the solution is not to sort of focus on adding more water. The solution is to use a patch. And so I think that, that if the district wants to, and if urban districts across this country want to bring more black male teachers in, they have to give attention to retention. And so first, spending and thinking about how to improve the working conditions of black male teachers in schools addresses issues of retention, and that might begin to do the work that urban districts purport to want to do, and that is to increase the number of black teachers and black male teachers specifically.
Mm. Hayden, I'd love to ask you, you know, how did you end up being a teacher? Because, I mean, this gets to the question of how is this profession viewed in the black community and in terms of adding to this pipeline or patching the pipeline, as Travis was talking about. How did you get into this profession? What attracted you to it?
To make a long story short, to echo the point that I made just a moment ago, I realized the importance of accessible, influential role model at a young age. Grew up with five friends, and if you chart where their adult male model went and what he was involved in and then followed their trajectory, it followed just about in sync. So to be frank, my friends, older brothers, cousins were heavily involved in the drug trade, street violence, gangs, so on and so forth. No coincidence that three out of that five followed suit. Myself and someone else who's now a teacher, my best friend who's also a teacher as well, had male models that happened to be doing things that were more positive, constructive, and working to impact the community in a positive way. My older brother was my biggest influence, and everything he did, I wanted to do. And college was just one of those notches on the list.
Mm. Listeners, we want to hear from you, and we're talking about how to recruit, how to retain more black male teachers. Why this is important, whether it's important, give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Travis Bristol and Hayden Frederick Clark, let's take a couple of calls from our listeners who dying to get in interested to get in on this conversation. Let's go to Stephanie, who's calling from Dorchester. Hi, Stephanie, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm the son of a black male teacher and the sister of a black male teacher here in the city of Boston. And I know that the guest has expanded on the challenge of retention. But I'm interested to know more about recruiting. I know in my brother's experience, he's been actively recruited by suburban public districts, by independent private schools, but lives in Boston, and his first choice was Boston. He has a master's degree and certifications in math and science areas, and there just doesn't seem to be the same level of interest that we've seen in our experience within Boston that some of the competing suburban and independent schools have. When it comes to making black male talent a priority.
Well, Stephanie, thanks for putting that on the table. Let me put that before our guest, Travis Bristol. Stephanie, they're talking about the fact that it seems like suburban areas are doing a better job recruiting black male teachers. Is there evidence behind that?
So that I don't know. I don't know if suburban areas are attempting to do that to any sort of greater degree than what's happening in Boston. I do know that here in Boston there is a court mandate to have at least 25% of teachers sort of who are black. But I'm not necessarily sure if that is if it's at the forefront of initiatives here.
But what about efforts? I should read this note, actually, from the Boston Public School System. We did reach out to the BPS about your study. They haven't reviewed its findings yet, but they did offer us this statement on the broader issues that you raise. They write that if you look at overall student achievement, the group that is most at risk tends to be Black males. This is the demographic that tends to have the lowest academic growth and lowest overall graduation rate. We can do more to support these students and their families. And the statement went on to say that we believe part of the solution is to recruit, retain, and develop talented teachers who share similar life experiences and understand the challenges our students face. So, Travis Bristol, that sounds like at least they're talking the talk here, right?
Purportedly.
Yeah.
Right. Purportedly. I mean, I think that at least 4 years, the percentage of Black male teachers continues to fall. And so I think that what you have on paper is it's sort of the storyline that we are attempting to do that. But data would suggest that number continues to fall. And particularly, as the Boston Globe reported earlier last year, that Black male teachers specifically are more likely to have negative evaluations, right? And so, so yes, it might well be the case that there is an attempt to try, but yet the experiences of teachers from this subgroup, the very group that the district is attempting to bring into the pipeline, are experiencing some of the most challenging conditions.
Mm. Hayden, is part of the challenge here doing a better job at promoting teaching as a career, as an attractive career among a certain population?
Mm-hmm. I think, generally speaking, teaching isn't viewed as a hallowed profession. If you're smart, you're a doctor, a lawyer, you go to Wall Street, perhaps you're an engineer. But in terms of the intellectual capacity, the talent, the interpersonal skills and so on, the sheer psychology involved in teaching, I don't think the general populace understands the responsibilities and the gravity of being able to shape and mold someone's mind and ultimately their future. I don't think we're as respected as we should be. So until nationally, in my mind, teachers are held in higher esteem, we'll continue to see a shortage in teachers in general, frankly. I still don't think we get the best talent across the board, because of some of the stigmas attached to teaching in general.
Mm. Let's take a couple more calls. Jason is calling from Hampstead, New Hampshire. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually also on a school board up here in New Hampshire. Listen, we've heard that having positive male role models of color in the schools can help improve the outcomes for students. I'm curious, are there also stylistic differences in the way that Black male teachers run their classrooms that improve outcomes, you know, perhaps in the way they interact with students?
Jason, it's an interesting question. Hayden, what do you say to Jason?
I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, well, that I'm absolutely interested in hearing that.
Yeah, I think I'm very different from a number of my colleagues, not casting aspersions on them, nor am I critiquing what they do. But I do consider myself very different and unique, and I think my administrators and colleagues would concur with that. Mm.
And how so? I mean, just talk specifically about how you'd characterize those differences.
Since my first year, I've made it a point to A, be myself, and B, even though I teach math, to target students and meet them where they're at, so to speak. So I have no problem engaging students in conversations that are outside the curriculum. Mm-hmm. I've been reprimanded for it before because it wasn't in line with the scope and sequence. It was a quote-unquote waste of time. But some issues are so pertinent and so pressing on students' minds that until you start to address them, you can't clear the muck out of their ears to get to, you know, quadratic functions and trig functions and so on. Sometimes.
So are you talking about stuff outside the classroom?
Yes,
and sort of clearing the muck away?
I mean,
it might be stuff that's happening in the home.
Very much so. Very much so. it can be, and again, it can be microcosmic or macrocosmic, right? It can be anything from helping kids process the Trayvon Martin verdict to something as minor as a incident that happened in their neighborhood. Street beef, frankly. It could be whatever it is. Until an adult has the capacity to meet them there and have candid conversations and help them go through whatever cathartic and stimulating process, critical process, you kind of can't get to the curriculum.
You know, I completely, what you say makes so much sense, but I want to sort of play it out logically and ask you this question. I mean, to me, it makes an enormous amount of sense that a young black male growing up in perhaps an urban neighborhood would value, would get a benefit from someone who could sort of speak to that experience and, as you say, help him clear out the muck so that he can get to the quadratic equations. But is that to say that white teachers can't do that or can't be trained to do that? I mean, are we really in a situation where we need black teachers teaching black kids and white teachers teaching white kids? I mean, I'm just trying to sort of play this out where mm-hmm. this takes us mm-hmm. down the road.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe in can't.
Yeah.
I think if you can imagine it and you can dream it, it's possible.
Mm.
So if I was speaking specifically in terms of white teachers' capacity to reach students, I've worked with several fantastic exemplary white colleagues, and I think how they connected with kids and where they connected with kids was poignant and appropriate for them.
Yeah.
What I would say is that if kids only gain those connections strictly through the curriculum and do not have an offset, so to speak, or a diversity in their experience, so in one class you're able to stick to the books, and in another class you have the capacity to iron out some of these issues as well as engage in rigorous curriculum, I think the diversity of the experience for the students is very important. So mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that white teachers can't, but I think it's critical that the students also have this capacity to engage as well. So if there's a if the lack is the huge piece of this.
Sure. Let's try to get one more call in. Jason is calling from North Andover. Jason, you're on the air.
Awesome. Hey, I have to concur with you 100% on your last statements. I think it's very difficult though for the Caucasian American to connect with that black student just because they haven't had the same type of experience. And if the young person can see the teacher standing in front of them who has had the same kinds of experience, grown up in the same cultural norms, but yet and still has had a positive outcome, I think it presents the opportunity for the young person to engage in the academic process from a perspective of, oh, someone else did it and they made it, and now they're standing in front of me teaching me a lesson that I can use beyond the classroom. And what I think that does as well is it introduces the young person to a career opportunity that they would not otherwise be open to because they do not see enough examples of African Americans, male specifically, teaching in the classroom. So they limit their scope of career opportunities, which is why we have the norms we have now, where we don't have a lot of black male teachers in the classroom, is because it happened a lot earlier on in life. They didn't see enough examples. And
Jason,
they get introduced to examples where they see it early on, they'll be more likely to enter into the profession later in life.
Jason, I thank you for the comment. Well expressed. Travis Bristol, the power there. Jason was talking about the power of positive examples early on. Final thought from you in this discussion. What more can be done? I mean, what else needs to be done in terms of addressing this challenge that you haven't had a chance to express?
So in some of the recommendations that I've shared, I think that the district needs to spend time, and all districts need to spend time not only trying to bring black male teachers in, but also supporting principals. Mm-hmm. One of my findings was that black male teachers were more likely, or see themselves more likely, to be behavior managers than teachers, police officers than teachers. And so I think that there needs to be training with principals to help them understand the roles that they are casting black men in. And those roles take away from the work that they're being evaluated on. Black men are not being evaluated to be police officers. They're being evaluated to be teachers. And so I think that there needs to be work with black with principals to understand some of the roles that they're casting black male teachers in.
All right. Well, it's a really interesting and important challenge. Travis Bristol is a former public school teacher here in Boston. He's also a postdoctoral research fellow at the Stanford University Center for Opportunity Research and Education. His new report is entitled Black Men of the Classroom, a policy brief on how Boston public schools can recruit and retain black male teachers. Travis Bristol, thank you.
Thank you.
And Hayden Frederick Clark is a teacher right here in Boston in Charlestown. Thank you for coming in, Hayden.
Thank you very
much. Really appreciate it. Listeners, stay with us. A new report on how the NSA could potentially spy on you without breaking any laws. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.